article in the Asia Pacific Bulletin is called North Korea Policy: Failure is the Only Option. Dr. Denny Roy is with us by phone. Hi, Denny. Thanks for talking with us.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. We seem to be going about this all wrong in the way you describe it, because Kim Jong-un has other responsibilities to his people that he seems to be able to disregard as long as this nuclear threat is at the top of the news cycle.
Well, you can say we're doing it wrong, but that sort of implies that there is a right way to do it, and in this case, there simply may not be.
Mm-hmm.
For example, as you point out, there's a what we would call a downside to us taking a tough stand toward North Korea. The Supreme Leader can use that to his advantage. On the other hand, I wouldn't recommend that we do the opposite, which is not make any kind of a statement to that effect. Indeed, as North Korea gains more capability, we have to remind the North Koreans that if they attempt to use that capability, the retaliation will be unacceptable for them. Therefore, as their capability increases, we need to be more threatening. But that feeds into this sort of a vicious cycle.
Well, you know, we've seen in the past how the standard kind of saber-rattling among nations gets out of hand. I'm thinking of World War I, among other things, where you know, at some point there's a snowball effect to all this rhetoric, isn't there?
Rhetoric does have consequences, but I think we're seeing this long, long crisis begin to be somewhat routinized, if that's the right word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if wasn't for the events of earlier this year, this week would be the beginning of a new U.S.-North Korea crisis because of the U.S. joint exercises with South Korea beginning this week,
right,
which always brings a very strong North Korean response. So it would just now be coming to the attention of the American public and be a high priority for the Trump administration that North Korea is a problem. It's making a lot of noise. We have to have some kind of response. But we've now been through several months of this, and American public is starting to see, like South Koreans have known for many years, that you can have a lot of back and forth with the rhetoric, and things can remain somewhat stable if uncomfortable.
There was a feeling in some quarters that the rhetoric had taken on was qualitatively different from rhetoric of the past, when we started getting specific about fire and fury, and the North Koreans got specific about where they were going to drop missiles near Guam. Has it been qualitatively different, or is that just more of the same?
I think there's a bit of a difference. On the part of an American president, speaking in those kind of terms is unusual.
Mm-hmm.
The typical response was something more like what Bill Clinton said when he was president, that if the North Koreans were to use a weapon, it would be the end of their country, something to that effect. Fire and fury is more something like the North Koreans would say. On the North Korean side, a specific threat that would seem to be part of a well-thought-out military campaign was different than the usual, we're going to obliterate Washington or New York. This is to be expected because we're coming to the end of an era where North Korea is getting close to having a capability that it didn't have before. And there's going to be an intensity of reaction on both sides as a consequence.
One of the questions that arises is for the everyday citizens of North Korea, you know, how much do they know about things like how life in their country compares to life in other countries? How much do they know about the world outside of their country? Aren't they sort of locked into believing what the Supreme Leader tells them?
I think it's well known that since North Korea has existed, North Korea has had a very, very strong and on-message propaganda campaign that sort of snuffed out critical thought, spoon-fed the population a particular view. In recent years, I think outsiders get more and more of a sense that probably the average North Korean now understands that North Korea is not doing economically better than South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires the leadership to look for an alternative source of legitimacy, which is partly provided by the nuclear missile program.
Well, do we, by our saber-rattling, enhance that legitimacy?
Again, we get into the dilemma of a policy that has only positive and no negative effects, and whether that's even possible to find. I would say that it, our, if you want to call it saber-rattling, does have a benefit for leadership in North Korea because it reinforces the idea that the United States, a very powerful country, more powerful than North Korea, is mercilessly hostile toward North Korea and provides sort of an easy source of blame as the cause for North Korea's problems, even economic problems.
I know that you're probably averse to making guesses, but I'm just wondering what your take is on where all this is likely to take us, say, in the next year or so.
I think as North Korea gets closer to actually having the capability that they're striving so vigorously for, which is to have a working nuclear missile that could travel long distances and threaten the United States, the United States will have to again consider preventive military action. So we have more spikes in this long-running crisis yet to face.
Mm-hmm.
I think ultimately, probably, our government will decide not to take that option, and we will simply have to learn to adjust to a new era where North Korea does have this capability.
That's not likely to be of much comfort to anyone when you know the Supreme Leader is widely perceived as crazy, volatile, and unpredictable. Is some of that an act? You know, this we've heard about Nixon wanting the nation's enemies to think that about him.
Yeah, the madman theory.
The madman theory, exactly. Yeah. Is that you could also argue that on both sides, couldn't you? But is that likely to be effective?
I think the first step in this adjustment that will be necessary is to understand that North Korean leadership is not irrational. I would say it's not even unpredictable. But that, indeed, they have used this sense of bravado as a means of compensating for some fundamental weaknesses vis-a-vis South Korea and the United States. To understand that North Korea wants to have this capability, but doesn't necessarily want to use the capability, because the North Koreans, if anyone does, believe that the United States would not be shy about using the full weight of its military forces in retaliation against that kind of an act by the North Koreans.
In the past, the U.S. has sought to undermine its enemies from within, right? We, you know, encourage the people to, in effect, throw the rascals out in their country. We tried it in Cuba. We tried it in Vietnam. There's not much chance of that in North Korea, is there? The population seems locked down pretty tight.
Yeah, there's two problems. One is whether the population would want to do it, whether they would respond to that kind of encouragement, especially from abroad. And the second problem is whether they would be able to do it.
Yeah.
Basically, the people that matter in North Korea live in the capital, and they're fairly well taken care of, including the military.
Mm-hmm.
Those who live outside the capital don't have the wherewithal to organize or to take up arms against the central government.
Do they even have access to the truth?
Increasingly, North Koreans, even in the provinces, have the chance to perhaps view a smuggled-in DVD from South Korea, get a look at life in South Korea, hear bits of information from someone they know who knows someone who's traveled to China, maybe has gotten some scraps of information from the outside world. So increasingly, there are cracks in the facade of the propaganda blanket that the government tries to throw over the ordinary population.
Well, this is clearly of a special interest to us in Hawaii. So as the situation develops, I hope we get the opportunity to talk to you further about this. Thanks very much for taking the time.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Denny Roy is a senior fellow with the East-West Center in Honolulu, specializing in security and foreign policy issues in East Asia, including the Korean Peninsula, China, and Japan. His article in the Asia-Pacific Bulletin is called North Korea Policy: Failure is the Only Option.